This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to The Stack. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And on The Stack, we're going to talk about a bunch of comic books that come out today, Wednesday, and a bunch of comic books that come out on other Wednesdays.
No spoilers, Alvin.
Future Wednesdays. Alex, button it.
I always blow it, you guys.
You're always a real spoiler.
Here's some spoilers for your spoil heads. Right?
Nope.
Yeah, that's the spoil heads. Yeah. I love spoilers. Say them all day.
Yeah. Head to spoilheads.com, my dedicated site for spoilers, where I ruin everything. Let's get into it. Miss Marvel number 38 from Marvel. This is G. Willow Wilson's last issue on the title. Yeah. This is she. Well, yeah. Because she helped co-create the character of Kamala Khan.
Yeah.
Miss Marvel has been an incredibly influential character, seeped into almost every media imaginable. And this is her last title here before she's kicking it down to Saladin Ahmed for, I think it's the Magnificent Miss Marvel, which kicks off next month. This is a bit of a jam. It starts off with Gio Wilson.
A little bit of a jam. I like it.
A little bit of a jam. A little bit of jazz. You can feel some jazz.
Very jazzy.
And it's a couple of other authors who have had influence on Kamala.
It's a string cheese incident.
Jim Zub, who wrote her in Champions, is on it. Also, we get a preview of Saladin Ahmed's take on it. What do you guys think about this issue? Good sending off point?
I thought it was really cool and very fun. A lot of kind of fun things, but it's also like this character has a lot of heart, and I'm glad that kind of stayed even in the last issue. I love this. I'm sad to see this different team on it, but I'm excited to see what's to come. But I thought this was a great collection of kind of stories that stay true to the character.
It did feel like I wanted a little bit more of a conclusion or sort of a sum up of the take of the character.
Nope. To me, that's what last issue felt like about. I don't know if you guys read that one, but that had a definitive the end at the end of the issue.
Yeah.
So this to me more feels like her passing the baton on to other people,
right,
paying tribute to the character. I think it's not the 50th issue overall, but it's some sort of anniversary. I think it's the fifth year or something like that that Kamala has been around. So that, I think, was more the idea there. I agree with you. I would have wanted something more emotional, but this was fun. And it was fun.
The video game stuff was very cool.
It was great.
The last one-page comic right at the very end, I really liked that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was fun.
And I do think, in a way, this also pays tribute to the very idea of comics, not to get too lofty about it. But I think you have a character, you create a character, but if they're truly going to stand the test of time in mainstream comics, you pass them to somebody else.
Yeah.
So that's what they did in this issue, and that's what's going to happen to Kamala. She's going to, at this point, live on through generations. Again, not to be lofty about it. But it is very rare when you see a new comic character come along and they're going to stick around.
Yeah.
She is one of those characters.
Yeah, and that's really exciting. So I'm sure whatever the sadness is, it's erased by that, I feel like.
Yeah. Let's move on to a DC comic, The Batman Who Laughs, number 3. Pretty much opposite end of the spectrum of the last thing you're talking about.
Yeah.
Now, fun, lighthearted. I loved.
What?
Well, it's laughs.
It's
laughs.
Fun. It's laughing.
What are you talking about?
It's laughing.
What did you laugh at?
All the jokes.
What joke? Name
there's
one.
There's all the jokes where Batman's like, oh, I'm mad now. And it's like, you.
That's funny?
You think that's funny? You're a Batman.
A plane blowing up in the sky, maybe a bunch of people dying. That's hilarious.
Think about this. Like, he's a bat and a man? That doesn't seem possible.
Yeah, it's funny.
It's not funny.
It's a funny book.
It's a joker.
Funny how?
It's a joker.
Most of the time, he's just the Batman, but here he's the Batman who laughs.
It's like, Batman's a drama. This is a comedy. It's like a sitcom, and it's fun. There's different.
Okay, but let's really talk.
There's crazy neighbors show up, like the Grim Knight, and he's like, I'm shooting you. you know?
Well, all right, let's really talk about it.
Sure.
Okay,
so
I am.
This issue is pretty fucked up, as usual. Yeah.
I'm the Justin who laughs.
That makes sense.
So, Scott Snyder, Jock, Batman Who Laughs, who is an evil Jokerized Batman from an alternate dimension, has been systematically taking down our Batman using other Batman from other universes, including the Grim Knight, as you mentioned, who's a Batman who uses guns. This series has been monumental in terms of what it's done to the Batman mythology.
Yeah.
As important, as necessary feeling as anything else that Scott Snyder did during his run on Batman. And here, I mean, without getting too much into
spoilers. I want to talk.
We talked about this on spoilheads.com.
I'm spoiling. Fuck this. I want to talk about
Let's talk before we get to that part. Did you like gambling magnate Batman who showed up briefly?
I did like that. Do you know what? I was thinking about that since I read it, because that's a sequence with the Penguin, right?
Yeah.
And there's, I'm curious to get your guys' take on it, but I thought it was a really smart, interesting take where the Batman Who Laughs comes in, attacks all the Penguin's men, and says, you know, it's funny, Oswald.
It's comedy.
Funny. Everybody always thinks the Joker will take you down,
or the Riddler
or one of your big enemies. But in most dimensions, it's the Penguin.
Yeah, who's
the
final one.
And I thought that was very smart.
Yeah.
It was cool. It was a cool take.
And then the Batman Who Laughs brings this Bruce Wayne from another universe who, rather than beat the Penguin, he just formed another crime empire and just put him out of business. I can't wait for the action figure.
Yeah. No, I love that idea, too. I wanted to see that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was fun. And then he pokes his eyes out.
What did you guys think of the plan?
That was messed up.
What did you guys think of the plan where Batman, who's has the Joker serum in him and is
running
going
through
crazy,
him. Right.
He gets Jim Gordon's son and is like, you know the plan. And he's like, what? No. That, to me, was the indicator that Batman's gone crazy.
Well, it's also like, it's crazy to see Batman kind of unwind and unravel a little bit here, because he's grasping at straws. Like, he is losing. He's getting his ass handed to him. So he's kind of like, hey, you used to be a psychopath. What does psychopaths think? Like, help me see the end game here.
Right. Yeah. Because I agree with your point, Justin. And I think that's the thing where, like, it's this creeping horror when you're reading this issue, and it doesn't even happen in this issue.
Yeah.
But you know, if you're unleashing James Jr., that's going to be even more messed up and even more fucked up than anything that's come before.
Yeah.
It's possible that they could be heading in another direction, that it could be the redemption in a certain sense of James Jr., but you're releasing a psychopath to catch another psychopath while there's another psychopath wandering around with his heart literally hanging out.
Yeah, Joker.
The Joker. Yeah, this is... The danger is
it's very stressful series to read. But it's like if a squirrel steals your car keys, you can't just be like...
Normal thing to happen. Yeah.
Runs off with them.
You don't know where they are.
Yes. Yeah, we live in New York. This is a classic New Yorker thing.
Get to your fucking point.
So if it's not like another squirrel is going to like take you to your car keys. And that's what Batman's logic is.
Well, no, his logic is, all right, I'm going to talk to this squirrel, kind of get in the squirrel's head a little bit, and think, okay, if I was that squirrel, where would I go with these car keys?
That squirrel doesn't have anything to do with your car keys.
Right, the squirrel is just sticking by his tree. But I don't want anything to do with nuts anymore. I'm doing my own thing.
Right. But there is some logic to it. It's not just crazy talk.
No, there's no...
Could you keep talking about squirrels, please, both of you?
The squirrel who laughs. Now, that squirrel
you gotta watch out.
Can we talk about the end of the issue?
Yes, please. I'm dying to talk about it because I have questions.
The end of the issue, big spoilers here for you spoil heads out there. Batman gives up. He's basically like...
No, that's not what I thought it was happening.
Wait, let me finish what I'm saying, you squirrel. The Batman gives up to the Joker venom that is in his body. He gives over. He becomes the Batman Who Laughs so that he can stop the Batman Who Laughs, and puts on the Batman Who Laughs insane-looking spike visor, which I still don't know how you see out of.
And it's not like when you're the Batman Who Laughs, you have vision. It doesn't make any sense.
Right. But
I think what it does do is it will freak out the Batman Who Laughs, because that's the last thing you're expecting to see Batman dressed like you.
Yeah.
That would freak me out.
Showed up here dressed as you, you'd be fucked up about it.
Yeah, I would be fucked up about it.
Do you think it's going to be a thing where they both go to the dance and they're wearing the same outfit and one of them gets so awkward they leave?
Oh, maybe.
That's how he beats him.
Yeah.
That's,
leaves the that universe.
Is a, like the you're saying, who dances.
Oh.
Like you're saying, that is a crazy plan, though, that like, okay, to beat the Joker, I've got to become the Joker.
Or to put it in terms that make more sense to people, to find the squirrel that has your car keys, you have to become the squirrel that has your car keys. Yeah. Put on your squirrel vision.
That explains why you're dressed as a squirrel.
Yes, right, and yes. Okay, I still don't have my car keys.
Great. Yeah. Definitely pick up this issue. Let's move on to an Image comic, Criminal number 2. Now, if you were expecting them to pick up on what happened the last issue,
nope,
not at all. Instead, we get an entirely new story focusing on not old timey, but like from the 90s comic book world. Takes place at a comic convention. It's very fondly reminiscent of that Fred Van Lente's book that just came out.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
What was the name of the book?
It's a Comic Con.
Con. Something.
Yeah, like Con. Yeah.
Flicked.
Con Artist.
Wrath of Con.
Con Artist?
Yeah.
The Con Artist.
That's what it is. Con Artist.
Probably. There you go. Anyway, this is great.
But it seems too much like that book where I'm like, oh, man, if I didn't read the friend, I would be enjoying this more. But I'm like, I wonder if this is going to turn into exactly Fred's idea.
No, it's already a different mystery.
It seems like it's pretty close.
There's... No, I think it's a different mystery. It's different characters. If you read
but
the back
it's kind
matter,
of the same thing, though.
If you read the back matter from Ed Brubaker, he talks about how, A, it has nothing to do with anybody in the comic industry, which Fred Van Lente's book
said,
definitely does.
But he also said it's a mismatch of people. It's not exactly.
I feel like there's some truth in both of these works we're speaking about.
What did you think about this issue?
I mean, I love this. It's great. It's
yeah, but you always say that.
Yeah, well, it's good. It continues to be a good comic book work. Ed Brubaker is great. Sean Phillips, great.
Was it ruined a little bit because you had read Fred's book?
I spent the first half worrying that it would turn out similar, and then it didn't, and I'm not a crazy person, so I was okay with it.
Well, yeah. I'm a crazy person. I'm like, it's still going to end exactly
the
same.
No, but it's not. It's already different.
Totally different. It's
going to be so similar.
I like the format that they're doing, where they're just telling a bunch of different stories that we're assuming will start to come together in this criminal underworld that we're exploring with these amazing comic book storytellers.
It just makes me not want to buy things at cons, because now it's like, it seems like I've read two things that say, okay, these aren't as legit as people say they are.
Comic book conventions?
No, I'm talking about like trying to buy original artwork or like the sellers.
Yeah, I mean, this is, there's plenty of legit art sellers out there.
Sure.
But if I'm going to buy comic book art, which I don't usually do, but if I was going to do that, I would go directly to the artist and buy it from their stand. I feel like that's the way to do it, because why are you buying that art? Don't buy it from like some random stall.
No,
nope,
there's a great spot if you like in San Diego. If you go to like way in the parking lot in the back, there's a dude who's like smoking 2 cigarettes.
Yeah. Right. No, I know that guy.
Yeah.
He's got great deals.
Great deals.
And Johnny 2 cigarettes.
Yeah, Johnny 2 cigarettes.
Yeah.
You got to tell him how do you spell the artist's name ahead of time, though.
Yeah, because he didn't. And then a lot of times he's like drawing furiously in the backseat of the car.
He's such an aficionado form.
Yeah.
He's practicing it himself. This issue is great. Moving on to another DC comic, Wonder Twins, #1, reboot of the classic characters. Pete, I'm going to turn to you since I'm sure you're a big Wonder Twins fan. How do you feel this paid tribute to the legacy of these storied characters?
Do you think because he did a little dance when you said Wonder Twins, that's what it was?
Yeah. I was doing the Wonder Twin powers activate. Now,
that makes sense.
No spoilers on this one, Zelbs, right? Because this one doesn't come out for a little bit, or are we allowed to?
It's out today.
Oh, okay, great. So I was just making sure. Didn't want to.
You're in sort of a purple shirt.
Yeah. Is this purple?
You're a Wonder
and you're
Twin.
Very wet right now. Yeah. I don't know what's going on.
You are
on,
slowly
like,
turning into water.
Yeah.
Seriously, this is purple?
Oh, you're colorblind?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Oh, yeah. That's
a definitely.
Shirt.
Really? It's
what
not
did you
red?
Think it was? No. Well, it's kind of like a maroon.
It's not red.
Really?
Definitely not red.
It's like a maroon.
I thought it was a maroon,
I'd say maroon
type of thing. Yeah.
There's a little purple in there as well. Right.
Anyways.
This is very interesting for our audio podcast.
For our audio only
what
podcast.
What color do you think each shirt is? Write us at comicbookclublive@gmail.com and let us know.
It's like the blue dress, gold dress all over again, except no one gets to see it.
But what's great is when we do our live show, there'll be a picture of the three of
change
us.
Change your shirt before the live show.
No,
definitely, because you don't make. Well, I think people learned you're colorblind, and that's an important fact for the Pete trading card.
Yeah. Now, what I'm wondering about is your opinion on the Wonder Twins, Pete. So,
okay, so I thought they did a good job of like in this comic, because the Wonder Twins are kind of a joke. So they kind of made fun of that, and they also had Mixelpleck in there, which is also kind of a jokey villain. I think they did a good job of treating this in the right way and having these characters kind of from their perspective, how they deal with stuff. I thought it was done well. I mean, I wasn't like, this is the greatest thing ever, but I was happy that I didn't hate it, and I thought it was done well.
Yeah, this reminded me a lot of not necessarily the Justice League series from a few years back. You guys remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Nope.
The comedy focused based on the Justice League run back in the day that focused on Booster Gold Blue Beetle.
Yes.
So this had a lot of that fun. It's a lot of the Justice League appears in this.
Yeah.
They're like, these people are lame.
Yeah.
And it is weird to be reminded that their powers are one turns into animals and one turns into water.
Water.
That's very specific.
Yes, mm-hmm. It is very specific. I warmed to this issue as I read it. It paints the Wonder Twins as aliens, come to our world. There's some weird stuff that happened back on their world. Some weird sex stuff and some other
which
stuff.
Which you loved.
Yeah, I was fucking into
and you,
it.
And you,
oh
people.
My God.
Nope.
Yep, a couple of pervs.
Never mind. Oh my
God. You can stop right there. Also, that's not... saying humana, humana, humana is not sexual, and it's just weird now. I don't know if there was a time in like the Great Depression where it was like, oh, that guy's feeling very horny right now. You can tell because he's going, humana, 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 humana.
Yeah, that's an old-timey bit.
His tongue is on the table.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I'm surprised someone who's classically trained doesn't know that.
Yeah. It's not, being a pervert in the past, that's not part of my training.
Yeah, I'm surprised they
if you ever time travel, though, you got to try and train to be a past pervert. It's super important.
Pervert. Yeah. That's definitely true. It's one of the biggest things in Quantum Leap.
He's a pervert throughout history.
Oh, God. Oh.
I think you watched the porn parody.
Yeah, he looks in the mirror and goes, oh, boy.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Quantum Creep was the series you were watching.
It was.
That's what it was.
Right. Oh, starring Scott Dracula.
Scott Dracula.
I warmed to this over the course of it. There's some solid jokes in there. I really actually like the resolution the best.
Yeah.
The way that they figure out the misplicic problem at the end is a lot of fun. It feels like it hits its groove as a comedy title by the end of the issue, which made me very much look forward to the second issue.
Yeah, I like Mark Russell writes this, I think, and he writes with such confidence, especially the comedy side of it, that I feel like a lot of comic book writers don't do. They include the jokes as little quips, and he's like writing toward the jokes, which I think is cool.
Yeah. Moving on to something that's not writing towards the jokes, Savage Sword of Conan number one, written by Jerry Dugan with art by Ron Garney, I want to say.
The art's great.
So this is the second Conan title from Marvel Comics. It's not connected plot-wise to the one that Jason Aaron is doing. Yes, Ron Garney?
Ron Garney is
Ron.
Thanks, fact-checker. And this finds Conan taken on a pirate ship. He ends up on an adventure, stealing some treasure. Very classic Conan stuff. As you mentioned, I thought the art was great. It was a pretty straightforward Conan book, but it's fun to see Jerry Dugan doing something pretty serious and intense. I like this.
Yeah, especially in contrast to the other title that Jason Aaron's doing, that Conan over there is a little more thoughtful. And this Conan is like angry all the time. It's sort of like Conan the Hulk or Conan the Punisher. So I feel like, Pete, this must have been right up your alley.
Oh, man, I love this. I never get tired of this. This is just classic Conan that, you can read over and over again. So enjoyable. Also, I love the way it starts. Kind of from his perspective, he's kind of like
he's
has lost the sea, so he's like not seeing straight, but he's still angry, which makes me happy. And I was really impressed with the way this was not only written but drawn, and what a fun adventure. I feel like it's definitely a great book and worth a pickup.
I agree. The adventure side of it, I really like. I just watched the movie Swiss Family Robinson, the original one, over the weekend.
Oh, wow.
Great movie. And now I have a real taste for these, like, at-sea adventures.
Yeah. Now, I have a question. Were you guys disappointed at all that they don't reference the fact that his show went to half an hour? I thought that was kind of a bummer, because that's a big deal, right?
But there's so much Team Coco branding throughout the issue. When all the, like, guys in the ship are like, I'm Team Coco. Like, fuck Jay Leno, they say over and over. again.
That was weird. I mean, I feel like that's so in the past, but I guess this takes place
but
in the past.
But they got rid of the desk. Yeah. Like, you don't have to see Conan at the desk anymore, which
it's
is fresh nice.
Take.
It's more relaxed.
It's
and
a
just,
fresh take.
It's a conversation, you know?
And I liked on the Conan show on TBS when he murdered that pirate.
Oh, yeah.
That was crazy.
Yeah. All right, moving on to some future ones. So I'll try not to spoil any of them. First one, Crackdown number one from, I want to say...
Image?
No, not Image. Boom Studios. No, Dynamite.
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 Dynamite. Thank you. Crackdown number one coming out February 20th. This is, of course, as we all know, tying into the video game that's coming out. So that's very exciting. Crackdown seems to be, based on having never played those video games, a world where people shoot stuff.
Yep.
Yes.
Have either of you played any Crackdown games?
I have not.
I mean, okay. I've done Crack, and I was down, but I've never played the game Crackdown.
Okay.
What did you think about this book then, Pete, as the expert?
Yeah.
I like the way you said, okay. Yeah, I mean, this is, you know, it's kind of basic, you know. It's like, oh, all we do is kill. We're the law. Oh, yeah, I'm so jacked up. But, yeah, I mean.
I was reading it, and I thought, wow, Pete's going to like this.
Yeah?
Yeah, because it's just a bunch of dudes screaming at each other and murdering everything in sight.
Huh.
Yeah.
And talking about how cool they are.
They definitely talk about how cool they are a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
This book feels like it was written by, like, a junior high school, like, football player. Yeah. Who's like, yo, my team's the fucking best. We're going to go all the fucking way.
Yeah.
It's fine. And then the bus gets a flat tire.
Yeah.
Which is
I'll tell you what. I did love this book. There's a lot of narration going on, like an overwhelming amount of narration.
Don't spoil it, man.
I don't know exactly. Don't spoil it. There's words in the book and pictures.
Oh,
I know.
Reveal.
I don't have any connection to the Crackdown game, so I imagine maybe if you like those games, maybe you'd have more of an affinity for the book. But it was so cocky, it started to win me over at points because it was like...
They won you over through the cockiness?
A little bit, just like in terms of like, this is so ridiculously over the top.
I was waiting for the other shoe to drop or the other ball to drop in the case of this testosterone-fueled craziness. and some sort of turn where it was going to be like...
Kind of does at the end, bro.
Spoiler, Pete.
All right, let's move on to another one. Blossoms 666, number two from Archie Comics, out March 6th. This is one of Archie Comics' new horror titles. The idea of the book is that either Jason or Cheryl might be the Antichrist. We don't know which. And as of last issue, they had a big party at their house and several people died.
Yeah.
And this issue, we're dealing with the fallout of that party. We won't spoil anything about it.
Oh.
But I'm really enjoying this series.
Yeah. This is fun. I mean, as fans of Riverdale, it's fun to see Cheryl be straight up the bad side.
Yeah.
And I like that. It makes me want to see that on the show more.
Yeah. It also, again, without getting into spoilers, but this really leans into the whole Riverdale of it all.
Yeah.
Even more so, I think, than a lot of the other horror titles because... it plays to those characters. Betty is a lot like Betty. Cheryl, as you mentioned, is Cheryl, but to the maximum amount of Cheryl possible. There's a lot of jockeying between Cheryl and Jason, which is a lot of fun as well.
Yeah.
I think it's fun.
I think it's fun, too.
You're not a fan, Pete, because you don't like Archie Comics.
Yeah, well, it's just one of those things where it's like, in the show, it's very, it's amazing. Yeah, this Cheryl doesn't seem like the real Cheryl to me, so it's hard for me to connect to it. Also, they were very casual around the law, which doesn't seem to make sense to me at all.
What are you talking about? That's what Riverdale is. They just made
a guy who went to jail and was accused and implicated in murder several times sheriff of the town.
Yep.
So I feel like if you want to point out casualness about the law.
Also, Cheryl lights up people with a bow and arrow on a lot of the night.
As she should. Yeah, as she should.
I'll tell you what, that's against the law.
Yeah, but you're talking about one thing versus another here. This is not the same show.
You talked about that.
You talked about them.
Yeah, well, I'm saying I was saying one thing I didn't like about, but we're talking about something that's great about Riverdale. I mean, it's fantastic.
Wow.
Oh, I get it. You're a crazy person. All right, let's move on to another title from Dynamite. This is the last title we're going to talk about. Also out February 20th, Barbarella Deja Thoris number 2. Now, we talked about the first issue of this and loved it.
Yeah.
Absolutely loved it. Very shocked. Did you feel it held up in issue two? Yes, Pete is raising his head.
I want to go first. I want first crack as this.
Okay,
I want
first crack. Down. Got
first ahead. Crack at this.
Go first ahead, crack. Pete. You're going to do some crack right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, got exactly.
It. All right, Pete, purple shirt, take it away.
I'm really impressed with this book. I keep waiting for it to be like, oh, it's just going to turn into TNA and be stupid. I'm really enjoying this book. I keep wanting. I'm like, oh, here we go. This is going to suck. It's great. It's very enjoyable.
Yeah, it's
I'm having
fun.
A good time.
I like the characters. I felt like I wanted there go through so many interesting worlds, so many things happening in this book. Mm-hmm. They talk so much. I wanted them to just sort of be on an adventure for a little bit before they started to really like digesting and talking about the logistics of the adventure they were on.
Yeah, but otherwise, this felt a little info dumpier. Yeah. This issue, like you said, the two of them figuring out each other. To Pete's point, I think a lot of the Dynamite books do tend to lean into the kitschy TNA elements where they go, oh, isn't this fun? This is what we know about the characters. Mm-hmm. But instead, what Leo Williams, the writer, is doing here is deciding, okay, what are the actual characters of Barbarella? What's the actual character of Deja Thoris? What would happen if they actually mixed together? And it's nice. I mean, they're fun characters. They're very different. They have very different knowledge sets, which are explored here.
Yeah.
The creatures and worlds, as you mentioned, are very weird and beautifully drawn throughout.
Really?
And it feels like next issue after this info dump, after this kind of feeling each other out issue, we're going to be getting more action. And it's great. I'm very surprised by the series.
Yeah,
good. Me too.
Really like it.
All right, guys. Thanks so much for listening to The Stack. If you'd like to support us, patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, we do a live show every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. at the People's Improv Theater Loft in New York. Please come on by. Pete.
Follow us on Facebook so you get to know about the amazing guests we have on our live show.
Also on Twitter at Comic Book Live and at spoilheads.com.
Check us out at comicbookclublive.com for this podcast and more, and we'll see you at the comic book shop.
Yeah, Spoilheads might be a real website. We don't actually know.
Spoiler. Comic Book Club.